2007 legislature, probably our final meeting, at least we hope so, for June 24th, 2007. We have three items on the agenda: reconsideration of House Bill 2575, and then the Senate Bill 994 and Senate Bill 5549. First item on the agenda will be reconsideration of House Bill 2575. Would you take the gavel for a moment, please?
I will. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move that we reconsider the vote on House Bill 2575.
Thank you. Senator Schrader, having voted with the prevailing side, moves that the committee reconsider the vote by which it failed to pass House Bill 2575. Is there discussion on that motion? I think we should probably take a roll call vote, Mr. Rocco.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Westland?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Johnson?
Yes.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
No.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hanna?
No.
Representative Gerard?
No.
Representative Gleeview?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Did you vote?
Yeah.
Right. Motion passes. Your gavel.
Thank you. Make a motion, Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House... Move amendments. Let's pull this out. I don't think we do have amendments. We moved the amendments last night. I think we did. Or do we need to move them again?
I believe you need to do that again.
No. I'm seeing parliamentarian saying no. But we have moved, just to remind people, last night the committee moved the dash A7 amendment into House Bill 2575. So, Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2575 be reported out due pass.
As amended.
As amended.
Discussion? Yes, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This was a bad bill last night, as indicated by the vote of this body, and for the reasons and information that was provided. It's still a bad bill this morning. It tempts me to not go through it again. But I am, because I think it's that important, and I think that we have a fiduciary responsibility to uphold. And I think it's important that not only those folks in the room hear this, but everybody who has the opportunity to watch us participate. I think this information is critically important. This insurance product requires employers who are affected by the bill, the employees of those affected employers, to participate in a program for which they would not have a choice, and if they have overriding coverages, does not allow them to stack that coverage. So they would actually be paying for an insurance product that in many cases they could not participate in the benefit of. Secondly, we heard testimony from the director of BOLI, who said there was no professional actuarial work done on this piece of legislation. In other words, they went and looked at an example of how an insurance product would work in California, but they did not hire a professional actuarial team or anyone outside the agency to develop actuarial tables for an insurance product. Third, the plan has no, this insurance product has no plan for reserves. As any commercial insurance product would in the state of Oregon, the insurance company would be required to have reserves, and there would be a reserve requirement minimum. If this product had a catastrophic problem, I would hate to have to look at each and every one of the people who had been paying into this, who then came to the insurance product for their benefit, having had no reserve, and what would they do? Come back to the state of Oregon? Finally, if it isn't bad enough that there's no actuarial, that there's no reserve, this insurance product is being started with borrowed money, with a line of credit. So there's so many strikes against this before it ever gets out of the box. I just ask every single one of you to say, could we do this if we were in private industry? Would the state of Oregon, through those rules and laws that we provide, allow us to allow a company to start up under these kind of circumstances? And I think the answer is flatly no. I was a no in subcommittee. I was a no last night, as many of you here were. I'll be a no again this morning.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would respectfully disagree with my good friend and colleague from Roseburg. I think this is a good bill. It's good for working families. It's particularly good for working women. And I would just suggest that this is not a normal insurance program. It's much simpler. Everyone pays in the same premium and gets paid out the same benefit. In my view, because of that distinction, you do not need an actuary. They're not dramatic variables in premiums. They're not dramatic variables in payouts. And everyone who pays in can access the benefits. And although the bill says you cannot receive both accrued sick leave and the family leave benefit, at the same time, the employee elects which to use. So they could use both, just not at the same time. And I think since testimony that's been heard indicates that 78% of employees cannot afford to take Oregon family leave time off, I think this is a much-needed benefit, particularly for low-income working families. And I'll be voting yes.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last night I had only seen this bill on a cursory basis, and I spent some time last evening and this morning trying to get as much information as I could on it and applying that knowledge that I have of this as a physician also. First off, I don't think it's going to be abused. I, on about a weekly basis, have to fill the forms out for the Oregon Family Leave Act or the Federal Family Leave Act, which are very similar forms. They're long. They take some time to do. It's not something that somebody can game the system easily on. It's a 3- or 4-page form and has to be very explicit of why someone's getting time off for family leave. So I don't think it's going to be gamed. Secondly, if you think of this as an insurance policy, I don't think of it that way anyway, but if you do, it's about loss ratios here. There's some way to have a catastrophic loss ratio in this program. It really isn't, because in the bill itself it says that if there's not sufficient funds, you stop paying out. Admittedly, you have to tell people at that point you've paid into something that we don't have enough money to pay out, or we have to reduce the amount we're paying out to you. We've done that before on other issues. So from that point of view, I'm not worried about this collapsing. Also, there's a delay in when they actually start paying out benefits. Premiums will be collected, so to speak. The 1 cent an hour will be collected prior to any payouts, and that's where you'll build your reserve funds. I also feel that the California plan, which has been very successful, is not much different than what we're doing here. I live 30 miles from California. What goes on 30 miles south from me is not significantly different than what goes on in California. I don't believe that people in California take off more time or less time than Oregonians do. In fact, I would argue possibly it might be the other way around, but that's my bias about Californians. So bottom line here is I think it's a good policy. I think what it really comes down to is not so much the fiscal aspect of this, but whether or not you agree this is a good policy to have for workers in Oregon. These are primarily women who take time off, take care of a sick kid, take care of a mother or a father. Men do occasionally do it. But this is really something that relates to the change in our workforce, a workforce that is now made up 50% by women. They're usually in lower-paying jobs. They've got family issues they have to deal with, and this helps them do that. So for that reason, as I was last night, I'll still be a yes today. I think it's a good policy, one we should go forward with. And I'm not that concerned at this point about the financial aspects of it because of the way the bill is written. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair Schrader. The Ways and Means is not a policy committee, as you articulated repeatedly. Ways and Means' only responsibility is to ensure fiscal stability in legislation. After hearing this bill in subcommittee and reading the bill, I'm convinced that it fails this test in every way that is previously articulated by Representative Hanna. I was a no in committee, I was a no last night, I will be a no today, and I will be a no on the floor. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Morris.
Thank you. In the business world, there are many good ideas also that emerge. But those ideas get vetted through a process of due diligence, typically known as the creation of a business plan. And within that context, you create performance, you do the analysis of expenses, the variable costs, the fixed costs, what the expected demands will be, in this case, the source of revenue. And then you perform that over a minimum of, you know, typically 5 years to do an analysis with respect to, does this good idea work, in fact, with the assumptions that have been made. And this, the intent of this bill is good. But have we done homework that tells us, in fact, this program is viable and sustainable? And I would suggest to you that we have not done that. And that's called due diligence. And that's called fiscal responsibility. And I think we are failing to exercise that responsibility in the context of this bill today. We are going to be coming back in February. There's ample time to do this work and to do it thoroughly and thoughtfully. And my concern is, and the reason that I'm a no vote, is that I don't think this work has been done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Seeing none, let's go to the vote. Let's do a roll call vote. Mr. Rocco.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hannon?
No.
Representative Jensen?
No.
Representative Guard?
No.
Representative Grizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Yes.
Senator Durbin?
Aye.
Senator Weston?
Aye.
Senator Courtney?
Yes.
Senator Johnson?
No.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
No.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Witzel? Yes. Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Senate Bill 994, excuse me, the Omnibus Program Change Bill. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 994 makes the necessary changes to statutes to support the 2007-2009 legislatively adopted budget, to clarify the application of statutes, and to modify provisions relating to the use of funds. Specifically, the measure transfers $2 million in lottery funds from the Problem Gambling Treatment Fund to the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund, transfers $4.6 million of public purpose funds to the Department of Energy to pay down the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry small-scale energy loan, provides the receipts from, I have to make an expository comment here, provides the receipts from sales of surplus property as a result of capital renovation projects will be deposited into the Oregon State Capital Foundation Fund. I believe those receipts will be very high given the quality of the purple. And the carpet has a big resale value. Transfers $9 million from the 9/11 account to the general fund. Transfers $284,000 from the unspent grant funds for small business development centers to the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund. Transfers $3.65 million from the State Forestry Department account to the Forest Patrol Fund, and provides that the funds in the State Forestry Department can be used for no other purpose other than those specified in statute unless the counties from which the state has acquired lands consent in writing. Clarifies the federal grant application approval process for the interim, specifies judicial salary amounts, provides for a one-time distribution to counties of $56.2 million from the State Highway Trust Fund for road funding, and reduces the requirements for minimum expenditures from the Highway Fund for modernization projects by 25%. Committee, the Capital Construction and Bonding Subcommittee recommends that SB 994 be amended and reported out due and passed as amended. Mr. Co-Chair, I've been asked to put a couple of things on the record, but I will wait till after committee discussion to do that.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. First of all, to note the potential conflict of interest, as I'm a member of the Capital Foundation Board, and despite the jocularity surrounding our divestiture of those attractive purple and orange couches, I think there are pieces of this building that might otherwise be headed to the scrap heap that, for sentimental or historical reasons, can become part of the Capital Foundation, both as a repository for part of the tangible history of this building, as well as the opportunity to sell some of the items with the benefit coming back into the Capital Foundation to help fund other projects ongoing in the building. And while some of this stuff probably won't cause a line to form around the block to buy it, there are some pieces of it that I think can generate benefit to the Capital Foundation that ultimately inures to the benefit and the preservation of the building. I also, if you would indulge me with a second comment, would like to just put a fine point on the money going to the counties for roads. I am very supportive of that. It was announced in the co-chair's budget. It was discussed with Oregonians when Ways and Means was on the road. But I think that it is important to note that the state's participation with our county partners is for road projects. And I think that we all have to be cognizant of the fact that the 25% takeaway from modernization until the year 2011 will cause a quarter of items to fall off the stip. So in some cases where communities are waiting for that stoplight, they may have to wait longer. And while this is a prudent decision now, I believe, in helping our county partners that are struggling, to just recognize that it's assumed that this money was going to go onto the roads, and I believe that it will be used appropriately that way.
Thank you for your comments. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Morgan and Senator Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder if I might have professional staff come forward and explain to me what Section 8 does.
That is concerning what?
That's what she's asking.
Well, we might have to figure out which staff to bring forward.
Oh, Susie Jordan, I think, would be the person forester that would do this. It has to do with state forest funds.
State forester. Thank you. Your question, then.
I'm not clear on what this accomplishes and what the purpose of it is, and so I'm just looking for clarification.
Certainly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Morgan, what this does is, in Section 8, the change is to require consent in advance and in writing from the counties if the legislature requests or chooses to transfer money out of the Forest Development Fund or the timber sale money, the state's timber sale profits.
Thank you.
Thank you, staff. Further questions? Further discussion, Senator Westland, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. First of all, I want to thank you for bringing this bill forward. There is a great deal of very important policy in here, of which I am supportive of all of it. I see that we have additionally funded judicial salaries. There's a county road package. The 911 transfer was critically important, as is helping an Oregon treasurer and institution further along its way to fiscal solvency. I obviously refer to OMSI. But I do want to caution us. I am concerned about the utilization of energy trust funds. I see this as potentially the beginning of a slippery slope. I remember when we fought this battle, I can't remember if it was in the 99 or 01 session, there were some very specific representations with regard to those energy trust funds, and I am quite concerned that when we passed Senate Bill 1149, that there was not a recognition or an acknowledgement that these type of funds would be used to pay off debt for any purpose, even though it's a small-scale energy loan. So I am concerned about that, Mr. Co-Chair, and I would be happy to work with you and the good co-chair to find an additional source for these funds. I will be voting aye, but I am concerned about the utilization of energy trust funds.
Thank you, sir. Let's see. Senator Morrison, Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I wonder if someone could explain how Senate Bill 808, which we passed on the floor of the Senate, was it yesterday? I lost track.
Yes, sir.
Things fly so fast. That created a special dispensation for Douglas and Lane counties, and those two counties are the largest recipients of monies within this appropriation. How it relates to Senate Bill 808.
I'm feeling uncomfortable. I think that's a C type question.
And my question, Mr. Chair, is there a degree of double dipping that is occurring here? We allow those counties to redirect monies into road patrol from the typical allocation between schools and roads. And I'm wondering.
I don't think that has anything to do with this, but staff, do you have a thought on that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Morris, Senate Bill 808 allows the counties to use the federal resources for state, for their county sheriff patrol on highways. This bill provides money for the county's road projects. They're two different things.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question. Senator Bates, I think it was.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a quick comment. I'm going to follow up with Senator Westland's comments on OMSI. I'm very concerned about using energy trust money for OMSI. I just don't think it's quite appropriate. I'm going to vote and support the bill. I've asked for the last 3 or 4 years that we consider OMSI, the jewel that it is, in the city that it's in, that it be considered at least as a possibility to be turned into an urban state park. We've already done that for the state fair. It's been successful. And, state parks no longer are just something we go out in the woods to use. This is something that would really benefit, I think, children especially, give them better access to it. It would make sure it's still maintained. People come from all over the state. My family does to take our children to OMSI. It's a real jewel. And the financial burden they're under because of their debt needs to be taken care of. I think ballot measure 66 money coming through the urban state as an urban state park would resolve those issues and bring it good and better management. It's a different look at where the park is, but I think it's a reasonable one. And it, certainly for me, there's a better nexus there than there is with energy trust money.
Just for the record, we do have an LC opinion that very appropriate use of the energy trust fund money to take care of OMSI. And if we were to make it a state park, then we should have just let them go under their own weight, and we could have foreclosed, and then, of course, we've been under state ownership, and you would have had your senator.
Well, Mr. Kutcher, my reply was we didn't do that at the state fair, did we?
We didn't.
And they missed a bond payment.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you.
Bring us home.
Thank you, Chair. I just have to put a couple of items on the record. In terms of Section 15, which becomes operative, I believe, the beginning of the next fiscal year, my understanding is for the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act of 2000, that those funds expired in terms of authority some time ago. We received an additional 1 year's authorization. There's been no interruption of actual funds. We do not know exactly what the distribution will be or what the level will be in this final year of authorization. The anticipation, if they should be extended in the future, is that they will be at probably a reduced level and probably being phased out. I think that's the proposals that are being put on the table. But this allocation to these counties, and it's clearly indicated in this bill, is a one-time allocation. It should be not viewed as anything differently and not should be viewed as anything like a long-term effort to support these activities. This portion does not become operative till the beginning of next year, and should something change dramatically, the legislature could still revisit this in February. Also, in terms of testimony, I believe it was received in a committee that I was not in, but in terms of when some of this was reviewed in other committees, is that ODOT has indicated that there would not be any, even though this permits a 25% reduction in the amount mandated minimum to be spent on modernization, that there would be no reduction in current projects. And that's kind of an iffy comment because current projects can be interpreted differently. I think the word that was used was in the queue. Now, to some people, in the queue means the contract has been let. To other, in the queue might be that it is a currently planned project that's in the six-year STIP. And I think that's something that ODOT is going to have to make clear to parties what that in the queue language means. I do think I've been told that this comes out of the state portion and not out of the city or county portion of the highway fund. That probably needs to be clarified in terms of some people have those questions before this comes to the floor. And also, I think that there is some belief here that there's a transfer of funds here that people believe is warranted given what these counties might face, but people want to make it absolutely clear that these counties may have, if we get this renewed, they might have 5 or 6 years to basically transition and figure out how they're going to provide services. If we don't get it renewed, they might have 2 years. But the state is not intending at any time to re-up the support for counties that is one time in this bill.
Well, we actually can't because this money is coming out of an ending balance, so it's obviously a one-time only distribution. Further discussion, Representative Fields.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As someone who comes from a district in the heart of Multnomah County that will only be getting $400,000 in Section 15, I just wanted to say that nonetheless I'm very pleased with the allocation of those dollars. I think almost $8 million going to Douglas County, over almost $10 million going to Lane, the counties most affected by the timber payments. Those counties eventually will be very hurting, and you hear a lot about the rural-urban divide in this building, but I for one am very pleased that we're going to be able to lay some infrastructure needs in those counties that most definitely will be hurting in years to come.
Great, nice comment. The vote reflects that exact sentiment. Further discussion? Seeing none, objections? Looks like Representative Shield has gotten his wish. Motion passes. All right, let's move on to House or Senate Bill 5549, the emergency, so-called emergency fund bill. Senator Schrader. Senate Bill 5549 is an emergency fund bill that implements the remaining pieces of the state budget for the 07-09 biennium. The bill includes the following components. It appropriates $30 million to the Emergency Board for general purposes, $125 million to cover the cost of state employees' salary and benefit packages, $9 million for the wireless interoperability project, $2.5 million for continuous improvement projects by state agencies, $1 million for costs associated with defending the Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement, $1.8 million for special election costs, $800,000 for funding of school, district, local option equalization grants, $700,000 for an electronic reporting system for ethics law filings, $600,000 for an interim committee on court facilities, and $550,000 for capital renovation debt service. It also makes various technical adjustments to agency budgets previously passed by the legislature and to implement budgetary changes from other legislation. It provides other funds and federal funds expenditure limitation to various agencies for grants and other budgetary adjustments. It provides additional appropriations as part of the final budget plan, including $4 million to the Department of Human Services for payments to in-home care workers, $4 million to the Legislative Administration Committee for debt service related to the capital renovation project, $1.5 million to the Legislative Administration Committee for relocation and other costs related to the capital renovation project, $2.8 million for the Oregon Historical Society, $2 million to the Department of Land Conservation and Development for Measure 37 claims processing, $2 million for the Public Defense Services Commission for juvenile dependency appeals and compensation, $1.5 million to the Department of Human Services for payments for nursing facilities for CNA staffing, $1 million to the Department of Higher Education for the Oregon Solutions Program, $1 million to the Judicial Department for additional salary increases, $1 million to the Arts Commission for the Creative Oregon Initiative, $700,000 for the Judicial Department for the Oregon State Bar for legal aid, $600,000 to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development for skill centers, $500,000 to the Military Department for emergency financial assistance, $400,000 to the Oregon Youth Authority for youth gang intervention services in East Multnomah County, $200,000 to the State Commission on Children and Families for children's relief nurseries, $160,000 to the Department of Education for civics education, $150,000 to the Department of Higher Education for the New Leadership Oregon Program at Portland State University, $50,000 to the Water Resources Department for Basin Studies and Ombudsman projects, funding for an additional position for the long-term care ombudsman, funding for another policy advisor in the military department, and finally, the bill provides the $56 million referenced in the previous bill and expenditure limitation for the Department of Transportation for a program to supplement county road funding for the 07-09 biennium. The Capital Construction and Bonding Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5549 be amended and reported out due pass as amended. And furthermore, I move that the recommendation be modified so as to replace the Dash 4 amendment with the Dash 5 amendment. The Dash 5 amendments only differ from the Dash 4 adopted by the Capital Construction and Bonding Subcommittee in two ways. There's an addition of $220,000 general fund appropriation to the Department of Human Services for independent living centers in Section 21D. That's 21D. And an addition of $300,000 general fund appropriation to the Department of Education for a study on transportation costs in Section 25B. That'd be 25B.
Could you outline those changes one more time, please, Mr. Kocher?
Certainly, Representative. In Section 21D, there's an addition of $220,000 general fund to the Department of Human Services for independent living centers. And then in Section 25B, there's an additional $300,000 general fund appropriation to the Department of Education for a study on transportation. Otherwise, everything is the same. Discussion for Representative Gore.
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. And my thanks to you for the $200,000 for the independent living centers around the state. We appreciate that consideration and the fact that you were able to find those additional funds. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So I'd like to remind the committee that about a month ago I made a motion for staff to prepare a special appropriation to determine the amount necessary to fully fund the Oregon State Police. And I'm wondering what happened with that motion.
That motion, Representative, as you recall, was to consider looking at an additional appropriation for Oregon State Police. We're still looking at that with the press of business here at the end of session. We haven't had a chance to get that done yet. I'm sure we'll have ample opportunity at e-board or as the other session comes forward. Good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Shields and Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As part of this bill, there's a decision that I agree with, which is to disappropriate $1 million from the Department of Corrections to help with judicial salaries. But I just wanted to get on the record that the Public Safety Sub worked very hard to dramatically increase the money for treatment, and particularly $1 million for evidence-based cognitive behavioral therapy, so that all of the highest risk offenders would receive that and therefore be less likely to offend. So I would just encourage the department, if you're listening, to not use this as an opportunity to take money away from treatment.
Good comment. Very good comment. Representative Morgan?
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. I do appreciate the addition of these two expenditures. I think actually funding the study around transportation costs in the Department of Education is an important way to go. I think that there's ample reason to believe that this would be a very fruitful ground for some factual information to be introduced in the discussion. And I join my caucus member in thanking you for the increased investment also in the independent living centers, and I'm wondering if there was any discussion around how this money would be dispersed.
Representative, I don't know about that. Staff, have anything to add? Ms. Baker?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I'm not aware of any discussion. Just as a little background, there are about, I believe, 9 or 10 independent living centers statewide, and so I expect the department would distribute this money similarly, as they have about $500,000 in their existing budget at Department of Human Services for the independent living centers, and I would expect that they would distribute that similarly to how they plan to distribute that money.
Follow up. So the intention is not that this $220 would be targeted, that it would be dispersed across the system of independent living centers.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, absent any other direction, that would be my assumption.
Thank you very much.
We can get together and get that information. Mm-hmm. Further discussion, Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I, too, want to say that I'm very pleased to see this addition for the independent living centers. And I also want to mention a potential conflict of interest. I work for an organization that represents academic libraries in Washington and Oregon, and they may be affected by this bill.
Thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Senator Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you to you and your co-chair for the hard work that you do. This is a difficult task. I know. I do want to express concern, very serious concern, about the $9 million reservation in the emergency fund for OM. The design of that project, the technical nature of it, the efficacy of it, you know, we continue to move down a path that I'm not convinced is the best path. And so I just raise that concern. That's a major part of that emergency board allocation, and something we need to be looking at very, very closely. Thank you.
Thank you. It is a special purpose appropriation, so we still retain control if and when things are put together in a way that the Assembly feels warrants additional allocation. Senator Berger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. That's right. And I just wanted to add that the $3 million that is in there is for planning, and if they come back in February and that plan is not sufficient or not acceptable, the $9 million is not then put into effect and move forward. And many of us have the same concerns expressed by Senator Morris.
Thank you, Senator. I think that is an accurate statement. Further discussion on the amendment to Senate Bill 5549. We'll go to a vote. Are there any objections to replacing the dash fours with the dash fives to Senate Bill 5549? Seeing none, so ordered. Yes, my co-chair would move. If that's okay.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5549 as amended with a DPAS recommendation.
Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none? So ordered. I just want to make some comments, Madam Co-Chair.
I would. Just briefly, a little bit of a anticlimactic, but this is the wrap-up of the work that we have all done together this session, and I want to thank you all for the work you've done, for the opportunity to work with you. We have, I think, we've done a really good job of creating a budget that respects and works off the hydraulics among the different programs and the services that we provide to Oregonians. And I think we have particularly benefited from not only the comments we heard, the passion we heard, the pleas that we heard when we toured the state, but I think also the experience that gave us to spend time together connecting with our state and different districts around the state. And I think the work product we produced together shows the benefits of that effort that we undertook together. The budgets we have approved together will open tremendous opportunities, and it's worth just reminding ourselves that students will get to go to college who wouldn't otherwise get to go to college because of the work we did together. Families will stay together who might not otherwise have stayed together because of the work we did here together. Seniors will have some independence and be able to live in their homes who might not otherwise have had that opportunity. And businesses will grow and be able to create jobs for Oregonians and create an economic vitality in our communities. And the work you all did together has made that possible. Thank you.
Just maybe a couple of my comments are a little more mundane, I guess, but more directed to our committee. I've been very proud of how this committee has operated. It's been a perhaps somewhat tumultuous session in a variety of different venues and ways, and that's the nature of democracy, and that's okay. I've been very impressed with the attendance. Most time our Four Ways and Means Committee started pretty close on time, unless it's been the co-chair's fault. You guys have done a really good job, and I've been impressed with that. We've had excellent attendance. You've taken this responsibility very seriously. I think that speaks highly of all of you and your commitment to the state. I appreciate the collegiality. We've had excellent discussions. They've been thoughtful. They've been forthright. And the way I would like to see the legislature conduct itself. You guys have been great. That's been awesome. Special kudos to, in my opinion, some of the new chairs of Ways and Means subcommittees that had not chaired committees previously and not even been on Ways and Means previously. And the learning curve was steep. I remember two of them turning to me about a month into the session and saying, were we here last session? And things happened fast, hard, and furious, and they did an outstanding job, and I want to congratulate them for the great work they did under tough circumstances. Very impressive at the end of the day. Very, very impressive. The veteran members, of course, learned the ropes, did a great job, made sure things got shepherded through, and I really appreciate that in a major, major way. I myself have learned a lot. I've learned that as much as one tries to open up the process and make it more transparent, it's never going to be transparent enough. And it's never going to be democratic enough. And apologize for that, but I think, believe it or not, to some of the newer members, we've made strides. This is a far different Ways and Means process than was 10 years ago when I came into the building, where there was no openness at all, and it prided itself on not being open. And we've got a ways to go. This whole performance-based budgeting will test our mettle next session. All these agencies got a pretty decent bump in revenues, and certainly it's a long time coming given the recession and the tough times. But now I think with these increases we should see a good return on our investment. I personally believe we're going to see a great return on investment, but I hope we have the gumption, the fortitude, and the fiscal responsibility to keep everyone there. Last but not least, I'd like to thank our staff. I mean, here's a staff that works tirelessly, puts up with us, me in particular, Mr. Micromanager himself, and I really appreciate that. It's been a tough session. They're not going to know what to do with themselves since we're not done, and yet Ways and Means is done. I find that's going to be very interesting to see how they all deal with that. So I'd like to give a big round of applause for this. With that, Joint Ways and Means Committee for the 2007 session is permanently adjourned.